I found a trio of legacy programs from the Cold War era that provide the most tangible, publicly available evidence for a legacy UFO retrieval and material exploitation effort that was hidden underneath conventional Cold War operations, the retrieving of unidentified flying object debris in the Congo, explicitly stated in declassified documents, even tying into the death of Marilyn Monroe and her connection to the Kennedy brothers. This is a smoking gun for the UFO community. I'm talking about Project Moondust and Operation Bluefly. Project Moondust, together with its operational partner Operation Bluefly, stands as the single most heavily documented, most explicitly UFO referencing, and most institutionally durable American government program that plausibly functioned as a covert exotic technology and crash material retrieval apparatus. Unlike almost every other name that circulates in UFO folklore, Moondust is not a rumor reconstructed from second-hand testimony or a whistleblower's uncorroborated account. It is a named, tasked, funded, and repeatedly invoked Headquarters United States Air Force program that appears by name across roughly 1,000 pages of documents released into the public domain by the Department of State, the United States Air Force, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the Central Intelligence Agency. And it appears in a specific 1961 Air Force document that places it in the same sentences under the same organizational umbrella and within the same operational tasking structure as an Air Force program explicitly named UFO. The fact that Moondust, Bluefly, and UFO investigations were bureaucratically bundled together as sibling projects under the Air Force Chief of Intelligence's direction, rather than existing as unrelated, coincidentally similar-sounding efforts, is the foundation on which a much larger and more suspicious edifice can reasonably be built, because it removes the need for interference or conspiracy-minded pattern matching and replaces it with the government's own stated administrative language. The declassified 1961 tasking document states plainly that intelligence team personnel had, in addition to their regular staff duties, peacetime duty functions in support of such Air Force projects as Moondust, Bluefly, and UFO, and other Air Force CIN-directed quick reaction projects which require intelligence team operational capabilities. It further defines each component with unusual precision for a supposedly mundane bureaucratic function. The UFO program is described as a Headquarters United States Air Force effort for investigations of reliably reported unidentified flying objects within the United States. Bluefly is described as having been established to facilitate expeditious delivery to Foreign Technology Division of Moondust or other items of great technological intelligence interest. And then Moondust itself is described as a specialized aspect of its overall material exploitation program, established to locate, recover, and deliver descended foreign space vehicles. Now, taken together, this single page of Air Force administrative language describes an integrated system with three moving parts operating in concert: a reporting and investigation arm for reliable sighting reports, a rapid transportation and delivery arm designed explicitly for speed and secrecy, and a recovery and material exploitation arm whose stated purpose was retrieving hardware that had fallen from the sky and whose origin was not yet publicly established. Now, the strongest piece of evidence tying this three-part system directly and explicitly to genuine UFO material comes from an almost illegible 1965 report. Finding this took a lot of digging, but what you will see on the header of this report is fragment metal recovered in the Republic of the Congo, origin believed to be an unidentified flying object. Now, this is not a UFO researcher paraphrasing or a second-hand claim. It's the actual title assigned by the originating government office to an actual piece of recovered physical material, and it explicitly frames that material's origin in the government's own contemporaneous internal language as believed to be a UFO rather than as a satellite fragment, missile debris, or any other conventional explanation. The existence of even one such document generated and filed within the ordinary paperwork of an intelligence bureaucracy, rather than for public consumption, is significant because it demonstrates essentially that the same institutional apparatus tasked with satellite debris recovery in the Cold War was at least on this occasion also tasked with the handling of materials that the government itself internally and without any public-facing motive to lie, believed to be of unidentified flying object origin. The internal language and the documentation from these programs would indicate that they had an interest, an active interest, in obtaining UFO material. The Nepal case is quite interesting. Multiple metallic objects fell on Nepalese territory. The Nepalese government formally notified the United States Secretary General and expressed a preference to allow interested states to examine the fragments before returning them to their launching authority. A two-man American technical team flew to Kathmandu within days under a joint state defense message structure. British intelligence separately and secretly informed the American ambassador that Nepalese army generals had approached the British for help identifying unidentified flying objects, some fragments of which were quietly shipped to London for British examination without formal Nepalese government awareness, and American embassy correspondence explicitly was worried about the diplomatic embarrassing problem that would arise when objects unveiled for inspection do not tally with what we privately know they have. A sentence that read plainly indicates that the American government held private knowledge about the fragment's characters that differed from what would eventually be disclosed publicly, and structured its diplomatic message specifically to manage that discrepancy. The consistency and bureaucratic maturity of this system across more than half a decade and multiple continents demonstrates that by the mid to late 1960s, the United States possessed a fully operational, rapid deployment, internationally coordinated capability for locating, taking custody of, transporting, and laboratory analyzing unidentified fallen objects wherever on Earth they came down. Ultimately, with these materials ending up in the Foreign Technology Division at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the same Foreign Technology Division that Operation Bluefly's own charter explicitly names as its delivery destination for items of great technological intelligence interest. Operation Bluefly's specific role within this system deserves close attention because its documented function is precisely the missing operational link that any serious UFO retrieval theory requires: a rapid, secretive, quick reaction transportation mechanism capable of moving unusual objects out of the public view and into a dedicated technical exploitation facility before local authorities, journalists, or foreign observers could fully understand what had been found. Another very interesting fact is Project Moondust is referenced directly within a widely circulated one-page Central Intelligence Agency paper connecting the subject matter to the death of Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedy brothers, John and Robert. The fact that Moondust is the program name, you can barely even see it on the paper, but when you look closely, you will see Moondust is on that CIA document that is regarding the potential national security concerns around Marilyn Monroe organizing a tell-all conference where she was going to speak about things that she had been told during her trysts with the Kennedy brothers, including how Kennedy was brought to a secret base to observe things from outer space. For a long time, the UFO community has said that this was essentially a death warrant being written for Marilyn Monroe. This wiretap document is outlining how she is a considerable security risk, and then not long after this, I think literally within 24 hours of this cable going out, she was found in her apartment dead, and it was ruled as a drug overdose. So it's very disturbing that this wiretap infers that Marilyn Monroe was going to do a tell-all conference and then she dies within 24 hours, and on this piece of paper you have Moondust. Why do you have Moondust? The fact that that program name is invoked on this CIA paper indicates that at least within some corner of the American intelligence community's own internal paper trail, Moondust was understood and referenced as a program connected to crashed UFO material handling at the highest and most sensitive level of discussion. This is the kind of internal cross-reference that a genuinely mundane bureaucratic program would not generate. And its appearance is difficult to explain away as coincidence given how narrowly and specifically Moondust's name is invoked in that context. So I pushed the investigation a bit deeper into the niche archival holdings, into unit lineage records and official Air Force magazine histories. Something important to highlight is the full organizational lineage of the unit actually responsible for Moondust and Blue Fly Field operations. This lineage begins on January the 3rd, 1953, when Air Defense Command Regulation 24-4 created the 4602nd Air Intelligence Service Squadron, based at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. From the earliest institutional root of this entire lineage in 1953, an Air Force unit's founding regulatory charter named UFO investigations as a direct, specifically assigned capability, not an incidental afterthought. The 4602nd was redesignated as the 1006th Air Intelligence Service Squadron in July 1957, and then redesignated again in April 1960 as the 1127th U.S. Air Force Field Activities Group, the exact unit named in the 1961 Moondust Blue Fly UFO tasking document as the field element executing recoveries. This means the unit performing Moondust and Blue Fly field operations was not a newly invented Cold War space debris bureau, but was instead the direct organizational descendant of a unit whose founding 1953 mission explicitly included UFO investigations as a core function, which materially undercuts the argument that UFO references in the later Moondust paperwork were incidental or coincidental terminology. This is not a coincidence. This was in their founding charter. We investigate UFOs, and we have now evolved into a recovery and technological exploitation program. And our roots, again, are investigating UFOs. This is not a coincidence. This is incredibly, incredibly interesting. A deeper archival investigation also surfaced the Bollander Memo of October 20, 1969, cited by NICAP as a document written by Brigadier General C.H. Bollander, which states explicitly that reports of unidentified flying objects which could affect national security are made in accordance with JNAP 146 or Air Force Manual 55-11 and are not part of the Blue Book system. This memo, dated just weeks before Project Blue Book's public closure was announced, is significant because it's a primary Air Force document written by name to a named Air Force general, establishing in plain administrative language that UFO reports carrying potential national security implications were routed through an entirely separate reporting channel from the public-facing Blue Book program, and that this separate channel continued to function independent of Blue Book's fate. This corroborates and sharpens the findings that Blue Book functioned as a public relations front, while a parallel non-public reporting and action structure, the Moondust Blue Fly 1127th apparatus reporting via JNAP 146, continued operating underneath it. JNAP 146 itself, Joint Army's Naval Air Force Publication 146, Communications Instructions for Reporting Vital Intelligence Sightings, explicitly included UFOs within its Vital Intelligence Sightings reporting category, and it carried with it statutory teeth. Unauthorized disclosure of information reported under JNAP 146 was punishable under US espionage statutes. The JNAP 146 penalty structure is independently significant to the Moondust question because it demonstrates that the government built not merely a recovery and analysis pipeline, Moondust and Blue Fly, but legally enforced silencing mechanisms running in parallel to it, covering up the witnesses and reporting personnel whose sightings could trigger a Moondust-style recovery response, precisely the kind of infrastructure that a genuine hidden retrieval program would require to function without public exposure over multiple decades. The National Archives and Records Administration has, as of the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act, formally established Record Group 615, the Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena Records Collection, into which federal agencies are now legally required to transfer identified UAP-related records on an ongoing basis. Now, this is relevant going forward because it means that any surviving Moondust era or successor program UAP-relevant materials still held by the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, the Air Force, or other agencies are now for the first time at the very least at risk of being subject to a formal mandated transfer and disclosure pathway. What the declassified record does prove, without requiring any speculative leap, is that the United States built, funded, staffed, and operated for well over a decade an integrated, rapid, secretive, internationally coordinated apparatus explicitly and administratively linked by the government's own 1961 tasking language to its formal UFO investigations program, and that this apparatus's true institutional roots trace back even further to a 1953 unit charter that named UFO investigations as an explicit capability from the inception. This apparatus was tasked with recovering descended foreign objects of unclear origin wherever they fell on the planet, and it possessed a dedicated quick reaction transport arm proven to be operationally capable, whose stated mission was rapid, discreet delivery to a foreign technology exploitation facility. The fact that we have explicit mention of the retrieval of unidentified flying object material from the Congo underneath the Moondust Bluefly operational purview, a documented instance where a heading literally says recovering UFO debris, a documented instance of UFO-related recovery from the US government underneath a program called Moondust. The operational architecture of Moondust and Bluefly is referenced within intelligence community paperwork discussing UFOs at the highest sensitivity level. It operated alongside a separate, criminally enforced reporting channel, JNAP 146, specifically carved out for nationally sensitive sightings even after the public Blue Book program in 1969 closed its doors, as confirmed by the Bollander's memo's own internal Air Force language. So given the totality of this evidence, an administratively acknowledged three-way link between UFO investigation, rapid transport, and foreign material recovery, tracing to a 1953 founding charter, a documented case of government personnel internally labeling recovered fragments as UFO in origin, a proven tradecraft sophisticated rapid reaction transport and delivery infrastructure purpose-built for secrecy and speed, bringing these materials to a military base that is steeped in UFO lore for being the one possessing non-human materials and technologies and reverse engineering them, and a parallel legally enforced silencing mechanism running underneath the public-facing UFO investigations program, Project Moondust, together with Operation Bluefly and its 1127th Field Activities Group parent unit, stands as, frankly, the most credible, most heavily documented, and most administratively self-incriminating candidate among all publicly known American government programs for a covert, ongoing UFO material recovery and exotic technology exploitation operation. And so I think it would be very prudent for congressional and Senate staff who are honing in on the UFO subject and trying to find actionable intelligence to look into Project Moondust and Operation Bluefly and see what exactly have they got in the classified archives in relation to these designations. This is something I hope they pay attention to. Send this to your senators and your congressmen on X and social media. Send them an email. Tell them to watch this video. Project Moondust, Operation Bluefly. Were these the legacy UFO programs that began the technological exploitation and reverse engineering efforts? I think there's a very high chance that it could be. What do you think?